Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I'm beginning a series today that I'm calling Kingdom Disciples. We talk about two things a lot around here, and the first one is Jesus, and the second one is being disciples. Being disciples who are making disciples. And becoming a disciple is critical for who we are. It was critical for the mission that Jesus left his church. His final command was to go and make more disciples. So on Sunday nights, we're meeting together and we're learning about how to make disciples. But on Sunday mornings, we're going to spend a little bit of time together learning about how to be disciples, kingdom disciples for this church and for Wichita Falls. And this morning, we're going to learn how to pray like disciples. The disciples that walked with Jesus physically in the world, they asked him one time, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray?" And he did. And as disciples today who walk with Jesus, we're going to ask him this morning, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray?" And so if you have your outline with you, I have printed the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that he taught them to pray. If you would stand and let's say that prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom disciples pray kingdom prayers. And when we do that, we are in a long line of men and women of God who have prayed for the kingdom of God to come. If you want to follow along, I've made an outline for you in your bulletin. And we see that the psalmists have declared the kingdom of God. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Amen. The prophets declare the kingdom of God. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Amen. The heavenly host around the throne of God declare the kingdom of God. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah." Amen. See, praying for the kingdom is something that God's people have always done. Praying for the kingdom is something that Jesus teaches us to do. To pray for God's kingdom to come. To pray for God's will to be done here on this earth just like it is in heaven. Because in heaven, there is only one will, one good and perfect will. All of heaven does what God wills to be done. And when we pray for the kingdom to come and for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we're praying for is that the wills of over 7 billion people would be submitted to the will of the one and true God. And that seems incredibly far-fetched and unimaginable and impossible. And yet, for all generations, it is what God's people have prayed for. For God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only does it mean that the wills of over 7 billion people would be submitted to the will of God, but here's the really important thing, people. It means that your will and my will would be submitted to the will of the one true, perfect God. That's a little harder. That may be harder to imagine than the wills of 7 billion people. Because it starts with me. And it starts with my prayers. Because my prayers, I'm sure yours are not this way, but my prayers tend to focus on me. And my problems, and my hassles, and my wishes, and my will. I tend to pray for my kingdom to come. And not only is that short-sighted, it's a prayer that's too small. It's a prayer that's far too small. It's a prayer that's not big enough. Because when I'm focused on me, that's a small little world. But when I'm focused on God, the sky is the limit. When I'm focused on the kingdom, I can ask or imagine anything, and God can do more. And God will do more. And so Jesus is teaching us to pray for God's rule. He's teaching us to pray for God's will. He's teaching us to pray for God's agenda. He's teaching us to pray for God's kingdom. He's teaching us to pray for God to reign on earth just like He reigns in heaven. And so, what are we asking when we ask for the kingdom to come? Jesus teaches us to pray that. What are we asking? I want to give just three ideas this morning that I hope will help you. And I hope this will be a prayer that you will begin to pray, folks, every single day. Pray for God's will to come. Pray for God's kingdom to come and for God's will to be done. When we do that, we are praying for God to enter hearts. We're praying for God to enter hearts. When we pray this prayer, it's a prayer of submission. It's a prayer recognizing that I am submitting my will to God's will. I'm not asking God to bend His will to suit me. How many of you prayed that prayer along with me? Not near enough hands went up, folks. How many of you have prayed for God to bend His will to suit your will? There you go. This prayer saying, God, Your will be done. God, would You bend my will to suit Your will? And see, that's an incredibly difficult prayer to pray, but an incredibly important, vitally important prayer to pray, discipline to assume. Because if you pray this prayer, you're giving God the authority to reorder and to reprioritize and to reorient your life in line with the kingdom, in line with God's will. When you pray for the kingdom to come, you're praying that God will be the king of every part of your life, even the parts, every part of your heart, even the parts that you wall off from Him, even the parts that you shut the door and turn out the light and hope that God won't want to go there. Those are the parts that we are opening ourselves up to. Romans chapter 6 says, give yourself to God. Surrender your whole being to Him and be used for righteous purposes. That is the prayer that I'm praying for me. That is the prayer I'm praying for you. That as a church, we would surrender our whole self to God. Every single part of us, there'd be nothing that we would not give up to God and His kingdom and His will, and that in doing so, He will use us for His righteous purposes. I want to pray that prayer now, if you'll bow with me. Father, Your kingdom come, and Your will be done in Ken as it is in heaven. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done. In this church, in these people, as it is in heaven. And I'm reminded, Lord, of the prayer that the Holy Spirit gave us in Ephesians. Where it says that Jesus would actually dwell in our hearts through faith. And Father, I hope that every person here at this moment is willing to ask Jesus into their heart. To be king, to be master, to be ruler, to be Lord of every part of us. Even those parts that we close off. Would you go into the deepest recesses of our souls, Lord? And would you shine light there and bring life and drive away the darkness? May your kingdom come and your will be done. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. Praying for God to come into our hearts when we pray the prayer that Jesus teaches disciples to pray. But we're also praying for God to engage history. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, you need to know that it is a battle cry. It's a proclamation, it's a declaration right out of the Psalms. May God arise and may his enemies be scattered. That's what you're praying when you pray for God's kingdom to come. If you're going to pray that prayer like Jesus teaches disciples to pray, then you need to get ready for battle, because it's a battle cry. And there is an enemy, and there is a kingdom who stands against God and his kingdom, and all who are washed in the blood of the Lamb and hold to his testimony. It's a war. It's two opposing kingdoms. One is ruled by God, and one is ruled by an imposter who has usurped the Lord's authority and has placed himself as prince of this world. And when we pray for the kingdom to come, we are praying for his demise. We are praying for his defeat. We are praying for his death. We are praying for darkness to flee and for light to come. Amen. Because there's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. And we pray for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done, not just in our hearts. We want that to be true on this earth because we live here. God made this place for us. We want good, and we want righteousness, and we want peace, and we want joy, and all those things come from God's kingdom. The kingdom of darkness is opposed to every one of those things. And so we pray for God's kingdom to come, for his kingdom to increase and the kingdom of our enemy to decrease. So you need to know what you're praying when you take on the incredible teaching of Jesus to pray for God's kingdom to come. If you have been saved by Jesus, I praise God for that. He's calling you to be a disciple. And he's calling you to pray this kind of prayer and to participate with him in storming the gates of hell. That is what the church does, folks. The church does not hide behind these walls. Amen? We have got to get that in our hearts and in our minds. The church does not exist here on Sunday morning only. The church exists in the world because God is reclaiming the world. He is taking it back and He is counting on us to partner with Him to do it. God's kingdom come. God's will be done so that things would be good here. So that things would be right here. So there would be peace. So there would be order. So there would be stability. So that families can flourish. So that there would be no more hunger or disease or pain or all those things. And all those things will be true ultimately when God's kingdom comes. But in the here and now, He is calling us, people. He's calling us as His church to go and make that a reality now. That's what being in God's kingdom is. And we got to do it, folks. We've got to do it. And so we pray, God's kingdom come. God's will be done. This is the language He used the very first time He ever mentioned the church. Peter made this, we call it the bold confession that Peter made that said, "You are the Christ." And Jesus said, "Yes, that was given to you not by men, that was given to you from God." And on that truth, that solid rock of foundation, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And we look around and it looks like to us, we have gates and hell has the ramming, battering ram. That's what it looks like and that's what it feels like to me very often. I don't know about you, but that is not the image that Jesus gives, folks. That is not the image of the church of Jesus Christ. It is hell who is behind gates and it is God's church and God's kingdom with the battering ram. And God said that today the gates of hell will not stand against us. So we got to go out there and we got to be disciples who are making disciples. That's how it's done. That's what we're talking about. And you get two weapons. The armor of God in chapter 6 of Ephesians is all defensive and we need every one of those defensive weapons. But you get two offensive weapons. Do you know what they are? It's prayer, and it's the Word of God. And you need to sharpen your sword, folks. And you need to be on your knees. That's where kingdom disciples win battles, is on our knees. We got to be in prayer, and we got to know the Word of God. And as we do, and as we teach others how to pray, and we teach others the power of the transforming Word of God, the kingdom will come, and God's will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Right after Jesus tells about the church and that the gates of hell will not stand against it, Jesus uses some other language there. And he says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what does that mean? Jesus then repeats that in Matthew chapter 18. And he says again the exact same words. "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Okay, so Jesus has said it in Matthew 16. Now He's saying it in Matthew 18. And then He says, "Now again I'm going to tell you." So that means, okay, I'm going to say it again, but He says it in a different way. "Again, truly I tell you." So he's reframing, He's letting us know what it means when He says, "Whatever you bind will be bound, whatever you loose will be loosed." Here's what He says. "If two of you, would you look next to you?" Okay, that's two of you. "If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with you." And we use that all too often to talk about coming to church. Folks, we are the church. And we need to be two or three out there in the world. And we need to be agreeing together for the kingdom to come. And God will do it. Amen? Okay. And when that happens, when we bind the enemy's kingdom, marriages don't have to stay separated. parents don't have to stay intoxicated. Churches don't have to stay stagnated. And the kingdom of our enemy does not get to remain located in our families, and in our schools, and in our cities, because the kingdom will be coming. And we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as disciples of light, get to push back darkness. We get to be a part of God doing that. And by gathering in unity and praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are taking the battle to the enemy, and we're taking the battle to his gates, and we are rescuing people who are in his clutches, and we are rescuing them. We are gathering them to be with God's people and to find the hope and the life that comes from God in the light and not in the darkness. But we got to be praying, and we got to be in unity about it, and we got to be doing it more than just when we get together here. It needs to be a part of our life every day in every way. In 1949, the communists took over China. There had been a century of mission work done. And by their own numbers, the communists said they thought there were about 1 million Christians in China. They ran out every foreign missionary or teacher, and that church went underground. Again, by their own admission, in 2006, the Chinese Communist Party said they thought there might be 100 million Christians in China. Folks, they had had no buildings. They had had no missionaries. They had no ministries. They had had no money. They had had two things. They had had prayer, and they had had the Word of God, and they were pushing back the enemy. Some of those, more recently, some of those Christian leaders from China, they were two of them who were at the Moody Bible Institute, and the president of that institute, as they were graduating and getting ready to go back to China, said to them very naively — you can hear the American arrogance in this — but he said, "I assume that as you go back to the church in China and you're graduates of Moody Bible Institute, you will become leaders in your church." They smiled and they said, "When we go back, the church will listen to how we pray, and that will determine whether they follow us as leaders." Let's pray for the kingdom to come. Father, I don't even fully comprehend everything that we are praying when we pray for your kingdom to come, because you do it in people's hearts, but yet somehow that grows exponentially. And history is changed. Nations are changed. Families and governments and societies and cultures. We've seen it over and over in history, Lord, and I pray that it would be true again today, Lord. Would your kingdom come? Would you drive back the paganism that is overtaking our land? Would you drive back the enemy and his darkness, in his slavery, his brokenness, everything that he leaves in his wake? Would you drive that back, Lord? Would your kingdom come to our land? Would your kingdom come to our city, to Texoma, to our state, to our nation? Father, would you do that? Would you use us as instruments of righteousness to do that, one person at a time? Father, would you put in our hands and help us understand what we are wielding when we hold up prayer and your word. Father, I want to pray very specifically for us in your church here, that your kingdom would come. And as we embark on a real concentrated, unified effort to bring the kingdom of light to the Southern Hills Elementary School, that your kingdom would come there. And God, we want to be wise and discerning and innocent as we do that. We want to go in serving and ministering and helping with the only agenda is to love like you've taught us to love. But I pray that as we do that, you would open doors and opportunities among the administration and leadership there. I pray, Father, that your kingdom would come in their lives. I pray that it would come in the lives of the teachers who are literally on the battlefront, Lord, daily with the next generation who honestly are just living in a land of darkness. I pray that light would come and your kingdom would come there. I pray that it would come in the lives of those children and in their families. And I pray, God, that as your kingdom comes and as we go there as disciples, as we get the opportunity to make disciples, that, Father, lives would be changed and transformed and there would be healing and there would be forgiveness and there would be reconciliation in so many ways, Lord, that families would be reconciled and changed and saved, and that you would raise up in that place another generation who will be part of pressing against the enemy, Lord. I pray for your kingdom to come, Lord. And I know that means we've got to do it. So we sing this song, which is a fun song, but it's got a serious message. You gotta take the Lord with you everywhere you go. You gotta take the Lord with you everywhere that you go. You gotta take the Lord with you everywhere you go. In the street and in the home, on the job and all alone, in the street and in the home, on the job and all alone,
all alone.
Take the Lord with you. Can you do that, folks?
Amen.
From the mouths of children. What does it mean to pray for God's kingdom to come? It also means that we're praying for God to inaugurate heaven. Praying for God to inaugurate heaven. We are longing for the day. Wendell included it in his prayer. We're longing for the day when heaven comes down to earth. That's what God says is going to happen. Heaven is going to come down. God is going to dwell with us. There will be new heaven and new earth, and God's will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. We are praying not only for God to enter history, we're praying for God to end history and live eternally with Him. We're praying for that great and that final day when every knee will bow and when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And John wrote, "He who testifies to these things, yes, says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And so let's pray through this song for Jesus to come soon. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How He loves me, how I love Him. He is risen, He is coming. Lord, come quick.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
come quickly. Alleluia.
Folks, kingdom disciples pray kingdom prayers. We pray for the kingdom of God to enter hearts. We pray for the kingdom of God to engage history. We pray for the kingdom of God to inaugurate heaven. God will do it. The amazing thing is not that He will do it. The amazing thing is that He's asked us to partner with Him. He's asked us to participate in what He is doing. He's given us that kind of dignity to say, I want you to do this with me. And so Jesus teaches us as disciples how to pray. And when you pray, pray for the kingdom to come, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I admit, as I said, that's a big, big, bold, powerful, earth-shattering prayer. I do not even comprehend everything about it when I pray it. But Jesus taught me to pray it. And even more than that, Jesus prayed it Himself. See, Jesus isn't teaching us to do anything that He did not do. He's not teaching us to pray anything that He has not prayed. And the night before the event that heaven had been holding its breath over, the night before the Son of God in human body allowed Himself to be taken by the enemy, the night before that, Jesus prayed Himself. He said, Father, see, like, I don't know what it means. Jesus knew exactly what it meant. And He prayed, Father, Your will be done. And it was. And for a very long night and day, and for 3 days, it looked like the gates of hell had opened and the hordes of hell had poured out in victory. But on the third day, Jesus arose. And there was light and there was life like the earth had never, ever seen before. And it has never dimmed and it has never died. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And so we take this moment to remember and celebrate and give thanks to Jesus Christ for praying and doing the will of God on earth, just like it was in heaven. Lord, thank You. Thank You for teaching us how to pray. I ask that You would continue to teach us. We're disciples. We're learners. Teach us, Lord, how to pray this prayer. And as You teach us, draw us back to the cross. You died to Yourself, and You're asking us to die to ourselves. But in faith, in confidence, in hope, we know that after death comes life. So we remember now that You gave Yourself up to the will of Your Father to save us by breaking Your body. We remember. In Jesus' name, we remember. Amen.